Welcome to Center Stage Minnesota. I'm Charlie Polkerbeck. I'll be your host for the next hour of our show at Northern Community Radio that focuses on the talents of Minnesota musicians. This week, we've got a pretty packed show coming up. We'll hear an interview that Chet Hotfit and Dan Haug actually did on the morning show last week as Brian Laidlaw was coming through Hibbing to play Zimmy's just a little bit in advance of Dylan Days. And also he was headed to Duluth to play some shows. He's a musician from the Twin Cities who received a grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board to do basically sort of an immersion research project, and then has resulted in him writing some songs based on the legends and the music and everything he really could find out about Bob Dylan and about Hibbing and the Iron Range. It's been a year-long project for him, and so we'll hear him talk a little bit about some of the results of that, and then we'll also hear an essay from musician Allison Scott, and I'm going to provide a little reflection on the May 8th Trampled by Turtles, an actual wolf concert that took place at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids. There was a lot of storylines crossing there with a couple of guys coming home and playing on that stage. It was an interesting and really enjoyable night. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then I've also got some other Iron Range musicians lined up. We'll hear something from Bellwether, which was a band, a great country rockish type band that centered around Eric Luma, who was originally from Virginia and existed mostly during the 90s, a little bit into the 2000s. Really quite underrated, actually. We'll also hear something from the new Jermaine Gemberling record, which is backed up by Rich Manson's band, Old Yeller, and something from Rich Manson. I've still got to pick it. It may be from his solo record, maybe from an Old Yeller record. It's very hard to choose when it comes to him. Well, we're going to get started on Center Stage Minnesota with one from Bob himself. This one comes from Time Out of Mind.
it was a shame and a pain. I came home on the late night train. The darkness slowed me down, stuck to my soft shoe in the station, waiting to get home to you. While at home, you were breathing heavily. This is a lullaby for a lady asleep already. Now I'm keeping to myself at 4 a.m. while people who don't know who I am are on their way to homes that I have never seen, but we're sitting shaking on the same machine. They move towards their homes and I move towards you steadily with a lullaby for a lady asleep already. The fast moving skyline says I'm on the beeline, but I don't know what bridge I just crossed. I know where you are, but I'm lost. And the engine is a shepherd whose feet are unsteady. I am a shepherd for a lamb asleep already. South by Coney Island on a carousel whose animals are silent. I wish my train were quieter, I wish my train were faster as it took me towards your dreamland pasture. And to the tune of his hum, I hum a mostly human melody. It's a lullaby for a lady asleep already. And the fast moving skyline says I missed the deadline, and I don't know this borough or town. And the train keeps burrowing down. Now the engine is an animal whose hunger shepherd for a lamb asleep already. When I get home, I call and wake you up. You come down half asleep and take me up. Tomorrow, I doubt you'll remember my arrival, but for me it was a question of survival. Still, it's a sweet, sweet dream to think that you need me. You're my lullaby for a lady asleep already. And to the tune of your hum, I hum a mostly human melody. It's a lullaby for a lady asleep already.
From Brian Laidlaw's 2011 release called Wolf, 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 we just heard Lullaby for a Lady Asleep Already. Last week on Northern Community Radio, Brian Laidlaw came in rather early in the morning, especially for a musician, and joined Chad Hotved and Dan Haug on the morning show and had a nice conversation with them about a project well, basically just about his music, but also about a project that he's been working on for the last year. He submitted a proposal to the Minnesota State Arts Board, and they decided to put some funding behind sort of an immersion research project that would result in poetry and music written about what he learned and the feeling, I guess, that also resulted from his research into some of the legends associated with Bob Dylan, Hibbing, obviously Bob's hometown, and all the other things that he found out over the last year working on this project. And so here is that conversation with Chad and Dan.
And this is Northern Community Radio. I'm Chad Hotfoot. I'm your host. Dan Haug is in the studio with me. And we have Brian Laidlaw in the studio. Brian's a singer-songwriter who originally hails from California, studied at Sanford. And in 2008, I think, Brian came to the University of Minnesota to pursue a master's in fine arts. And you received a grant, or you're working on a project from the Minnesota State Arts Board to do a project about some mythology about Dylan. So can you talk about that a little bit, Brian?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I moved out to do a master's of fine arts, like you said, in poetry. And basically, this year I've had this incredible opportunity, thanks to the Minnesota State Arts Board, to write a handful of songs and poems that are inspired by Hibbing and Bob Dylan and the sort of like legends that surround his upbringing here. It's kind of paired off of the fact that his high school girlfriend was named Echo Hellstrom. And then Dylan is kind of this Narcissus figure. So there's a lot of Echo and Narcissus kind of imagery in there too. And I was working on this record of these tunes with a Hibbing native named Danny Vitale, who grew up here, and he's a great instrumentalist from the range. So it's been an amazing opportunity to kind of get into the community up here.
Sure. Did you pick the topic?
Yes,
and,
I did.
And has Dylan been an influence for you?
Yeah. I think every songwriter / poet lives in his shadow one way or another. But yeah, so he's been a big voice for me. And then actually the other sort of half of it is I grew up in California, and my native landscape had a lot of gold mines in it. Mm-hmm. And so the sort of Sierra foothills in California and the, you know, gold rush of 1849. So when I was living out there, I was writing a lot about gold mining and that sort of landscape. And so then to kind of be thinking about the iron mining in this landscape, there's a lot of sort of parallels, and sure, it's been an interest of mine, you know, for ages. Really.
Were you in the Grass Valley area then, or where?
Yeah. Our family spends a lot of time up near Tahoe, and so we're going through the foothills a lot.
So have you spent a fair amount of time on the range?
I have. And it's definitely, you know, I've only scratched the surface, I guess, to use a little mining metaphor there. I feel like I've only scratched the surface, but this project has been a great way to kind of get deeper into it, you know, get a little more of an appreciation for it up here.
So are those songs recorded on a CD yet, some of the newer stuff?
Yes, they are all recorded. The record is getting mastered right now.
Okay.
And it'll be ready. I'll get to hear the finished version for the first time within the next couple of days, which is super exciting. And then I also, just again, with so much gratitude to the State Arts Board, because of being able to record those tunes, I then was able to submit the album along with a collection of poems to Milkweed Editions, which is a publisher based out of Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And they have agreed to publish the book of poems with a download code for the album that goes along with it as a sort of soundtrack. So that will be like the ultimate format for these tunes once they're getting out into the world.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah.
So you'll buy the book and then you get the album too that goes along with it. That's awesome. Hey, you want to grab your guitar and do something for us?
I would be honored. Star, if the starlight's crisp, could lead me away like a will-o'-the-wisp. Though I walk with a limp and talk with a lisp, baby, this I know. And one little breeze, if the breeze is stiff, could topple my heart from the top of a cliff. It's a question of when, not a question of if, baby, this I know. So bury me deep in a golden thicket where the sage and the heather grow. All I want is a golden ticket to a place where the road doesn't go. stormy eve could ward away the beasts and thieves. I don't believe, but I still believe. But baby, this I know, that one little fire on a distant peak could redeem my soul when the world looks bleak. I stand with angels cheek to cheek. Now baby, this I know. So bury me deep in the golden thicket where the sage and the heather grow. All I want is a golden ticket to a place where the road doesn't go. I got thin legs, thin chin. I got big love and thin skin. I got rough knees, rough hands. I got big dreams and no plan. But one little love, if the love is pure, can lead the way when I feel unsure. All I needed to learn was where you were. Now baby, this I know. One little tune in the proper tone can raise the dead and roll away the stone. You can listen to mine if you lost your own. Now baby, this I know. So bury me deep, bury me deep, bury me deep, bury me deep. Sage and the heather grow. All I want is a golden ticket to a place where the road doesn't go.
Nice.
Nice thing. Isn't it? This nice. Is one of the cool things about getting to host the News in the Morning is we get to have people like Brian come and do a little private concert for us.
Isn't exactly. That cool? A little mini desk concert.
Yeah, very nice, Brian. Thank you very
thank
much.
You guys so
that was
much.
Very cool.
It's a good way to start the day.
I hear a little Slade Cleaves in you.
I do too.
A little bit of a Texas little drawl when you're singing.
Honored.
It.
Yeah. I'm hear a little, to learn it. You know?
I hear a little Joe Purdy in your style too. Do you know Joe?
Yeah, I do.
Oh,
I do.
Yeah.
Man.
So that's cool, yeah. You know, after you left California, you bummed around for a few years.
It's
kind of like a true woodar. You know, how long was that? What were you doing?
Well, let's see. That was for about 3 years, 4 years. I finished up college and it was a mix. I was touring some and doing shows around, you know, around the country with sometimes solo, sometimes with, you know, another couple folks. And then a lot of it was just posting up in the mountains or posting up at, I worked at a little resort for a while, like changing sheets and cleaning mm-hmm. toilets and doing that kind of stuff. And then just being in the mountains and writing a lot. So it was really, that was the time, although I studied poetry as an undergraduate, I didn't really figure out how to write, I think, very solidly until that like few years of traveling and,
sure.
and writing and, you know.
Get some experience, something to write about.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You're working on a couple of other collaborative projects.
Echolalia is the big like mm-hmm. grant-funded one. And then The Family Trade, that's like the band in the Twin Cities.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many other things. I don't know. I'm always working on different books and stuff like that. So
talk about The Family Trade a little bit. I watched some of the performances there. And
yeah.
You got like the Dusty Porch Sisters are part
yep.
of that group.
Yep. One of the great bands of all time. Yeah, so The Family Trade, I've just been the luckiest person since moving to Minneapolis. And one of the great gifts is that I fell into this sort of circle of super creative, kind-hearted, really open-minded people. And The Family Trade began just as kind of people hanging out on the porch and trading, you know, passing the guitar around. Super classic. Everybody's, you know, singing their tunes and sharing the stuff they're working on. And then people are kind of learning harmonies and, mm-hmm. you know, busting out the ukulele or mandolin or
right.
banjo or whatever.
Right.
And The Family Trade ended up being a band that arose from that super informal sort of, I mean, to call it a rehearsal would be a huge overstatement. It was just
yeah.
sort of messing around.
Right.
And at a certain point, then it started to like sound good. And we're like, hey, maybe we're a band now. Jeez. So it's been that way the whole time. But the cool thing about it is that the other people in the band, in The Family Trade, they're singing my songs, but then they're all front people of various other bands. So the Dusty Porch Sisters, Ashley Hansen is the writer and one of the singers for them. Tim Harlan Marks is our bassist, but he writes and sings for a band called Very Small Animal. Greg Byers is our cellist, but he also has a project called By Yourself. Becky Gaunt is another. She's our fiddle player, and she's a phenom, and then she also does music of her own. And Sean Garrity is a songwriter, a drummer. So it's just kind of like everybody has all of this creative talent. It's not just for, you know, being a backing musician. But they're like,
do you guys travel around? Will you come up north sometime? Rude. Sounds like a large group.
Yeah, we're numerous. So we're, you know, it's kind of this funny thing where it's a mix of people who are full-time musicians and then some folks who are working super full-time on other stuff,
right?
But kind of making time for this wherever possible. So we tour whenever we can, and it's kind of like, you know, I rope people into coming out of town with me here and there too.
Sure.
Could you play one of your tribute or one of the songs that you were working on for your project?
Absolutely. That's a perfect segue. This is a tune called 7th Street that's definitely, it's basically about, Dylan has a complicated relationship with Hibbing, and I think Hibbing has a complicated relationship with Dylan too. So
yeah, very true.
Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. But here's this song about it. Put you on the map, gave a little babe a slap and set you crying. There's people who try to claim from the very day you came you started dying, and they're not lying. But no one knows your name around these parts anymore. Your name around these parts anymore. Now, who made the world so mean? You get a little taste of a dream and then you wake up. It's like you meet somebody fair, but the beauty isn't there without the makeup. It's quite a shake-up. Face around these parts anymore. No one knows your face around these parts anymore. Come on now, let me remind you of the dirt beneath your feet. Come on now, let me remind you of your home on 7th Street. Great divide. I can hear you on the other side, but you sound ghostly, like you're talking through a wall of mist. I can only catch the gist, but it sounds holy, at least mostly. But no one knows your voice around these parts anymore. Your voice around these parts anymore. Come on now, let me remind you of the dirt beneath your feet. Come on now, let me remind you of your home on 7th Street. Come on now, let me remind you of the dirt beneath your feet. Come on now, let me remind you 7th Street.
Very nice.
Brian Laidlaw. Very nice, Brian. Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Can you tell us a little bit about your instrument?
Yeah, sure can. This is a Loudon. It's made by an Irish luthier, guitar maker. And I've had it for a good 10 years now. It's got this awesome five-piece neck. I wish that this is the one time I wish it were TV so you could see how beautiful it is.
It is a beautiful guitar.
Yeah, I'm in love with this thing. It teaches me how to write a lot of songs.
Are they still making guitars? I'm not familiar with that one.
They are, as far as I'm aware. I don't think they make a ton of them, and I got this through a friend of a friend who had gotten it custom built. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy thing.
Yeah, hang on to it.
Yeah, I intend to.
That was Brian Laidlaw being interviewed by Dan Haug and Chad Hotvedt. Thanks to Brian for coming out early and joining us at the KAXE Northern Community Radio Studios. This is Center Stage Minnesota. Center Stage Minnesota is an original series produced by Northern Community Radio and broadcast on the stations of Ampers. Find us online at kaxe.org. Program support comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Allison Scott provided us recently with this essay about being on the road.
People always ask me what being on the road is like. The whole concept has been glamorized to death. I'm sure it's pretty fabulous if you're Lady Gaga or the Rolling Stones. For the rest of us, though, I think it's pretty different than you'd expect. Imagine yourself on a road trip with no destination. That's kind of what it feels like. Mind you, we're always headed somewhere, but we spend way more hours in the car than we spend on stage or in any one place. I've been spoiled these last few years because two of my bandmates, Peter Anderson and Steve Price, do most all of the driving. I hate driving, so this makes me very happy. It also leaves the rest of us with a lot of hours to fill. I arrive with a stocked backpack, iPhone, iPad, iPod, MacBook. Apparently, I'm keeping the Apple Store in business. If we're lucky, my husband lets us hijack his phone, which is a Wi-Fi hotspot. At least that way I can get some work done. Responding to emails consumes at least 30% of my workload as a musician. Advancing shows, booking shows, promoting shows, coordinating rehearsal and studio sessions, etc. The more of this I can get done while we sit in the car, the more I get to have a life when I get home. Still, I can only answer emails and play Words with Friends for so long before I'm bored out of my mind. Luckily, we get to stop every couple of hours. Who would have thought a trip to the gas station would be so exciting? Now, I'm a vegetarian and also a food snob, something I'm both proud of and annoyed with myself about. This makes finding something I'm willing to eat quite challenging when we're in the middle of nowhere. Peter and Steve are veggies as well, so at least I'm not alone in my hunt for grub. Kevin Bowe, my guitar player and fellow food snob, and I often find ourselves wandering the aisles at the local Super America, being disgusted with our options, examining the overprocessed food and repeating the word no, 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 to no end. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different outcome. Yet there we stand, as if someday a fruit plate might magically appear on the shelf between the Oreos and corn nuts. Lately, I've just defaulted to bringing a cooler full of healthy snacks. We barely have room in the Suburban for one more thing, but you've got to do what you've got to do. When we get to the venue, I'm thrilled to have a couple of hours on my feet. We're finally going to do our thing, and if we're lucky, someone will show up to hear us. The audience can make or break a road show, any show for that matter, but if you've spent 7 hours in the car driving to Rock Island, Illinois, only to have a huge bar with 8 people in it, knowing you're just going to have to get back in that car and drive 7 hours home right afterwards, it sucks. And I know, because it just happened to us. You can spend $300 to $400 on gas to make $50 on the door. Luckily, those gigs are few and far between for us these days. Most of the time, the audience makes it all worthwhile. To have a group of people show up to hear you play your music in a town that isn't yours is the best feeling. It's a lot of sitting around for a few minutes of glory, but I'm happy to make the trip. I'm particularly thrilled if I can make it through the evening without someone requesting Gangnam Style. Oh yes, that's happened. More than once. I've had the same band for over 5 years. When you've been together that long, making music is the easy part. I don't have to think about it anymore. If I make a mistake, they're with me. If I want to vamp the outro, they're with me. Not worrying about them allows me to just enjoy my time on stage. It took me many years to get over my nervous energy and just embrace the performance. But I know I still wouldn't be over it if I wasn't up there with such competent players. Kevin is always telling me that I don't know how good I have it since I never really played with anyone else. It's true, I'm spoiled, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Once the show wraps, we're either headed back on the road for a late drive home or we're headed to a hotel. You never know what that is going to bring. Most of the time, I book our hotels, so I can at least be as picky as our budget allows. Frankly, that isn't very picky, but still. Sometimes, though, the venue books the hotel for us. This can be scary. Just recently, we were booked in a not-so-great part of town. I had a hotel room on the main floor with a door directly to the parking lot and a padlock that wouldn't work. Sadly, there were no more rooms, so I slept with a chair wedged under my door handle and one eye open. That was not my favorite night on the road. In the end, we never know what we're in for when we pack ourselves into our trusty Suburban, but it's sure to be good for a blog or two.
Hanging out the window with a bottle full of rain, clapping.
Tom Waits cover there from Hiding Under the Covers 2, the release last year from Alison Scott. Before that, we just heard an essay, thanks to Alison Scott, about an inside look of being on the road when you're any type of musician other than the most famous and most wealthy. And Alison is very accomplished, so it just goes to show you that just about everybody goes through, well, like she said, it's a bit over-glamorized. Chaperone Records has been making a lot of waves in Duluth lately, and one of their very recent releases is called Generator. It just came out from Jermaine Gemberling. This is something backed by Rich Madsen and Ole Yeller as her band. And then we'll hear something from Ole Yeller, a song written by Rich, an Iron Ranger. Very much probably the next person on my mind in terms of songwriting that comes to my mind after Bob Dylan, when you think of Iron Range musicians and particularly songwriters. And then also something from Bellwether coming up. But right now we're going to hear this one from Jermaine Gemberling, Dusty Trail.
Myself, I don't mind dirty boots.
Listening to Center Stage Minnesota. I'm Charlie Polkerbeck. We've got about 10 minutes left of the show for this week. Center Stage Minnesota is a Northern Community Radio show that focuses on the talents of Minnesota musicians. That was Rich Madsen from his 2007 release, In Spiral Notebooks. It was kind of a songs that he mostly wrote, I think, when he had the band of Glenn Russell's, which was a great band during the 1990s in Minneapolis. And then during the earlier part of Old Yeller's existence, but never made it on any records. And so he decided to finish them and put them out on this record, which is a fantastic record. In Spiral Notebooks from Rich Madsen. Before that, we heard Old Yeller from their Good Luck release. We heard Country Hilt, which it reminds me so much of the attitude and feeling of John Prine's Spanish Pipe Dream, and it doesn't fall anywhere short of that song. It just feels like a great update of it. What a songwriter. Jermaine Gemberlin before that from her brand new release, Generator. That came out on Chaperone Records very recently, and we heard Dusty Trail. On the 8th of May at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids, Trampled by Turtles came through town. It was their 10th anniversary tour, and Eric Pollard, also known as Actual Wolf, who is a key member of Retribution Gospel Choir, was sort of a hired gun player, but a very important one with the band Low, and has recently launched his own project where he is the creative central force behind it. And what a creative central force he is. His voice, his lyrics, his presentation, just fantastic. And he wowed the crowd opening up for Trampled by Turtles on the 8th of that Wednesday at the Rife Center, both with, like I said, his very clever and interesting lyrics and his playing. He basically, it was just him and his guitar and his voice. And I haven't seen somebody make that much of that little instrumentation in a long time. He hit a note on a Roy Orbison cover that just wowed the crowd. And then also Trampled by Turtles played a fantastic show. There were some interesting storylines there because both Eric and Tim Saxog are from Grand Rapids, and Tim is the bass player in Trampled by Turtles. They spent time in a band together called the Dukes of Hubbard earlier in their lives. So there just was all kinds of different emotions and storylines crossing that night. And Tim, being so gracious as to one musician you might know listening to Northern Community Radio, Sonny Johnson's cousin, was having a birthday, big fan of Trampled by Turtles, and was hoping to get the Turtles to come out and wish him a happy birthday. Unlike, you know, in the Twin Cities or some other city where there's going to be hundreds of people waiting for them, there was just Sonny's cousin, and the band was evidently not able to make it out. They couldn't find the time, but Tim Saxog, gracious as can be, came out and made that kid's night. So good for Tim. You can tell that he was raised to be a very nice person. And I really have to give credit to Jennifer Penix to providing some great observations about that night's show. David Marty, when he was introducing the bands, announced that, and this is really shows you it's a different place than where these guys have been playing lately. If we rushed the stage, it would be rude and embarrassing for everyone. And also Jennifer Penix, a staff person here at Northern Community Radio, made the observation too that I missed, that Eric Pollard, Actual Wolf, when he got done with his set, "Are you ready to go, Grandma? I'll bring the car around," which is just a fantastic and intimate thing to have happen in that kind of a situation. The show was packed. Probably the most captivating thing that happened that night happened right next to me. It was 2-year-old Leo. He stole the show. His mother brought him up. He loves to dance. He loves music. His mother at one point told me that he prefers to watch bands on YouTube videos to cartoons, and it shows. 2-year-old Leo was up there dancing. He had more sophisticated moves than I've ever pulled off, and it was as entertaining and as pure as anything really could get. To the Rife Center's staff's credit, they allowed it to happen, even though technically he might have been in an area where they wanted to dig down into their technical rules. He probably shouldn't have been up there next to the stage getting his groove on, but he did, and to the delight of many people at the Rife Center, including the players in Trampled by Turtles. It was a fantastic show from both acts, and it was one of those situations where there was just such a good feeling in the air that night, and it was all capped off by 2-year-old Leo getting his groove on. We'll hear it a little bit from Jim Miller, and this is from Eric Luma. Bellwether was a band that was put together by some real pros down in Minneapolis during the 90s around Eric Luma's songwriting. He originally is from Virginia, Minnesota, and I would have to say they're, in the history of Minnesota, one of the most underrated bands that came out of Minnesota. This is from their Home Late release. It's a short song, but it's really a good one. This is Baltimore.
Locks the dams and logs. Now I'm empty as this hole. I will leave this town just the way it was found. A blood red pile of oil. what's left to my drinking friends, 'cause I'm going for more. I've watched that door so many times before, waiting for a lady to come in. Another old salt with his tongue hanging out, looking for a glass to fall in. I'll leave this town just the way it was found, on blood red pile of gold. I'll leave what's left to my drinking friends, 'cause I'm going to Baltimore. Yes, I'm going to Baltimore. Yes, I'm going.
Eric Luma and Bellwether there on Center Stage Minnesota from their home late release. Baltimore is the name of that great song. And taking us out for this edition of Center Stage Minnesota, Jim Miller from a record named after his son Amos. This one is called Linda of a Thousand Briars.
Nothing more. A thousand planets, a thousand stars. from your line of sight. Surrender softly to the vernal night. You where you want to be. And nothing goes so far. End of a thousand briars and a thousand stars. End of a thousand briars and a thousand stars.